Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. Now, we've been hearing an awful lot about the cloud, and there's a lot of different options out there for people to do things with the cloud. Microsoft's technology is called Windows Azure, and here to help answer some questions about Windows Azure, what it's capable of, and what you can do with it is Steve Fox.
Hey.
Thanks for joining me. We've had you on the show a couple times in the past,
yep.
And always talking about Windows Azure. That's a topic that's near and dear to your heart, I understand.
It is.
Now, part of me wants to assume that anybody watching the show knows what Windows Azure is, but could you encapsulate in just a brief statement what Windows Azure is?
Yeah, sure. I mean, a while ago I was actually doing a presentation for a number of school teachers, and they said, can you reduce this platform down into a very simple statement? So I said, well, it's loosely described as an operating system for the cloud. All right, and that's a fairly, you know, loose description when it comes down to it. But think of it as a platform where you can deploy code, deploy data, deploy services. In essence, is a place, a data center in the cloud where you can deploy applications and have them running. Now, again, the value add of why would you go and do that speaks to the fact that literally we have data centers at Microsoft where you can take these applications and run them on hardware that Microsoft is managing for you. So there's a really good cost optimization story behind the fact that you can take applications, data, services, all these different artifacts as developers we build and deploy and actually run them in an environment that you can manage and literally only pay for when you use them. And that's the value add for Windows Azure. But there's a ton of features accessible within Windows Azure today, such as, you know, SQL Azure, such as the service bus, such as the ability to deploy WCF services, blob storage, all of these different types of artifacts and features and services built within Windows Azure as a platform that a developer can use and just out of the box.
Now, when I think about the cloud, I almost can't mentally separate it from the internet or the web because that's kind of the way we're accessing it. And so, like, you know, I've got my own little personal website, and, mm-hmm. and I store recipes in a SQL Server database. Mm-hmm. I've got some, you know, ASP.NET code on the pages that is running to let me update things and so forth like that. So I've got data. I've got an application, mm-hmm. And I also can take and provide the XML of my recipes to people that want to request them properly, and so I got services as well. So I've, on my little website, I've got application data and services. How is Windows Azure different than that?
Well, Windows Azure is actually a fairly broad platform, right? And it's almost worth taking a step back and saying, how do you define the cloud? Because a lot of times when you're out there talking about the cloud, it's a very overloaded term and overused term. And any type of marketing language now, when you go out and look at software industry and IT industry, really includes some element of the cloud. And so that just confuses people, right? But there's literally core tenets when we think about cloud computing. So for example, there's the idea of self-service. So you can provision some sort of service and then run it yourself. There's the fact that you can scale up and scale down. There's the fact that, you know, you have the ability to create VMs and this elasticity in the cloud when you're actually deploying web roles and worker roles, for example. And really, when I say a VM, basically what these data centers are, they're a server that sits, you know, as a virtualized environment inside a Microsoft data center somewhere, right? So you can scale up and scale down. So the point is, when you're using your site today, you're almost constrained in some sense that you can't scale up and scale down automatically like you could with Windows Azure. And so you have a lot of the underlying services within the platform that aren't necessarily offered with, like you say, your example earlier on, that you can get with Windows Azure platform. Plus, it's the ability to actually scale up with VMs and things like that and these worker roles that automatically can elasticize and kind of burst out for a lot of different scenarios that you're trying to build and deploy. So again, you know, if we think about the core differences, there's these core tenets of the cloud computing. That, you know, so elasticity, you know, self-service, these types of things in economics of scale. The second thing is the fact that there's core services that are within the platform that you can leverage that are, you know, again, I say out of the box, but there's SDKs and, you know, storage elements and things like that, and SQL Azure, sort of the sister to SQL Server that live in the cloud. And so a lot of these core elements are there for you to take advantage of. So think of it as platform within this idea of cloud computing that you can build and deploy and scale and burst for all these different scenarios. Now, again, I think the last time I was here, we talked a bit about a scenario where we were talking to a major bank. Since then, we've had a number of different conversations with customers who are like, well, you know, how can we use Windows Azure? And they've been used in a number of different scenarios. But to make it real, It could be, for example, you know, disaster recovery, or it could be storage, or it could be, I want to enable my, you know, mobile devices. We've got all these different devices we want to access, or at least have access to our enterprise solutions. How do we do that? And of course, we have these services in the middle that we can put into Azure. All of a sudden, now we have different devices that can use that service layer that's sitting out in the cloud that then give us access to these very, you know, mission-critical enterprise resources. And so this is the thing. We have, you know, big data examples as well. We have finance industries, and we're talking about, you know, Hadoop on Azure, reducing all that down to a SharePoint site or data that can be consumed by a Power Pivot Excel document. But all these scenarios are facilitated, again, by the platform, the core services, data, all those elements that make up that platform, the ability to scale up and scale down as you see fit or as your business dictates, burst up, burst down. Again, I think, you know, in our last conversation, we talked about the fact that, you know, this bank needed only really 3 hours a week, you know, of processing power and compute power, yet they were paying for hardware that was sitting inside their data center, you know, 100% of the time. So it's really looking at that cost optimization, even if it's batch processing jobs, how we can take that and put it in a place where it makes more economic sense, or even processing sense to take these applications. It was amazing to hear that they were spending millions of dollars, which literally translated could be thousands of dollars when you look at it in the world of cloud computing. So I know it was a bit of a long-winded answer, so hopefully.
So for companies that are taking and utilizing the internet for a connectivity of data and access to services, but maybe don't necessarily have a constantly running need for that, it'd be very good use for them to take news because they're just using it periodically.
Yeah.
Also for people like that might have a simplified need today but could potentially see that need increasing dramatically at some unknown time,
right.
Suddenly they can have access to, like my site, for example. If suddenly a million people started hitting it, it would just fall over and die, and it would take me a while to move it somewhere else to so it could handle that situation, and Azure would actually fix that for me.
Yeah, I mean, and like imagine if you retired from Microsoft and started a business based on your current website selling recipes, and right now you have 1,000 people hitting your site, it's perfectly manageable. All of a sudden, you put some crazy cool recipes there, and all these people are starting to hit it, and you want to grow your business. I mean, you're a one-man shop. How do you provision hardware? How do you get all that kind of hardware in place and manage it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to scale your business out? I mean, literally, in the time it takes for people to hit your site and see that it's not working, they'll go off and do something else. So you've lost that opportunity. So the point is, now you have a platform where literally you could be a one-man shop, or you could be an entire enterprise. Leverage that same platform to grow and scale. And so the fact is, when millions and millions of people are now after your recipes that you're selling for 99 cents a shot and becoming the next, you know, big millionaire, yeah, right? And you know, obviously the Windows Azure platform can kind of scale beneath your feet to help you do that. Mm-hmm. So, and it's nice to see the fact that there's competitive edges we're seeing in the IT industry now where we've got startups, you know, not unlike the kind of the ideas you're talking about, where these startups are coming in with two or three man shops. They can immediately provision hardware and grow as the company grows. And if they have these upshots of traffic, all of a sudden now they can manage them with this platform capability.
Well, what are some of the coolest, most innovative uses you're seeing today of Windows Azure?
God, I mean, there's a lot of really cool social stuff out there. I mean, it's all over the board because, you know, a lot of what we're seeing right now is the enterprise is using it in one way. Startups are using it in another way. Devices are using it in another way, right? I love the device aspect because one of the key things when we go out there and talk to CIOs is, hey, look, we have these, you know, all these different code bases we're trying to manage. So for me, it's cool in a cost way, but it's cool in the fact that now we can reach so many different more devices is the fact that now we can use it as a service layer. But there's some really cool stuff, you know, like social media, we're seeing some stuff there. We're just, in my world, kind of the SharePoint world, my, you know, kind of where I've spent a lot of my time, we're getting to see more and more of the cloud story evolve, which to me is really cool because from one perspective, we can think we have this thing called Office 365, right? Which is great, and it's rapidly becoming a very pervasive productivity cloud-based tool. The second thing is we think about how do we begin to bring Azure into that for a custom story that just takes us way beyond even our competitors in some sense. That to me is really cool because then we've taken a productivity story that's really good. We've augmented it with a cloud story where you can leverage Azure. And this is specifically for things like, you know, business connectivity services or, you know, even dropping services or consuming third-party services and bringing that into the purview of your Office 365 sites. I mean, even storage and backup and things like that. The fact that you've now got more self-contained cloud-based solutions, to me, is very cool and very exciting. I see, you know, the adoption rates, very exciting, and the fact that, you know, all these things are coming together, again, in all cloud solutions, cool. But, I mean, again, you know, if you look at how it's being used, you know, the conversations that we're having within my group are a lot of enterprise-level conversations, right? And again, it's how can we, you know, manage disaster recovery? How can we manage storage? And it's even now getting into mainframe. I've had conversations where COBOL is becoming the new language again. It's becoming cool for COBOL, which is awesome, you know, in some sense, because you look at, you know, a lot of the business processing, you know, objects out there are built on COBOL. But to be having conversations with guys, you know, who have long beards, you know, and the spectacles from the 70s, like, yeah, COBOL's cool. You know, so it's that to me is just opening up new opportunities, you know, for the platform and, you know, for the enterprise. So it's, but it's, if I were to categorize it into some interesting areas, you know, some interesting buckets, you know, I think the mainframe is definitely an interesting area. I think big data is definitely an interesting area with, you know, Hadoop. And the reason I think it's interesting, because it's not only just the Hadoop on Azure, it's the downstream information worker ability to kind of take that data, reduce it down to something they can actually ingest. It's the, you know, device kind of being able to reach multiple devices, and as we'll see Windows 8, you know, moving forward in the year, that's really exciting too. And of course, the SharePoint world, just so much stuff we can do there, you know, from on-premises all the way up to the cloud. You know, and this is something that we'll be talking more about at TechEd. We can't share everything today. I wish we could. But the fact is, when we go to TechEd, we'll be talking about multiple scenarios that will just open things up dramatically for the SharePoint and productivity environment. It's very, very exciting.
And these are some talks that you're involved in?
Yeah, I'll be doing one talk on the Wednesday at 8:30. Let me see what the date is. I can't quite recall. It's, let me see. I'll actually give you the code. It's OSP334, June 13 at 8:30 for you early risers out there. So we'll, I'll be talking a bit about, you know, a number of different ways that SharePoint on-premises and Office 365 tie into this thing called Azure. You know, I've been doing a lot of talks over the last year and a half about, you know, leveraging services, leveraging SQL Azure, and all the kind of components of, you know, the Windows Azure platform. But we're definitely going to go broad and integrate some other new exciting features into the story. So it'll be...
Yeah. And you're going to be repeating that in Europe as well?
I will, yeah. So for those of you who are able to come to TechEd North America... Awesome. If you're there in TechEd Europe, we'll also see you there, so I'll be at both.
And I guess one issue is that my understanding is TechEd North America's registration, I think, is closed down now because they've hit their limit and actually exceeded the capacity.
Which is awesome, but that means we have to shuffle everybody over to Europe, so we'll see you in Amsterdam, right? So we're going to do a lot of stuff there. And I know, you know, personally, we'll be talking a bit about, you know, and Paul Stubbs on my team will be talking about SharePoint as well as Azure. But there's an entire Azure track. There's a ton of, you know, great speakers that are going to be addressing a lot of new and exciting features, some of which have yet to be seen on the site, so you may not have insight to them, but just know that they will be there, and it'll be a lot of exciting topics, I think.
Yeah, technology is always progressing, and there's always something, you know, better coming down the road a little bit further.
Yeah.
And it's good to pay attention to that stuff.
You do, yeah, and I think from the Azure standpoint, it's just growing, and it's becoming more and more interesting, and I think... The interesting thing is when you put a technology out there, right, we couch it in a certain way as Microsoft, and then you see a lot of companies, a lot of different, you know, developers using it in very unique ways. And that's the thing that's happening with Windows Azure, right? You're beginning to see it picked up and to segment it across enterprise developer and the startup developer, the hobbyist, and, you know, kind of the mid-market. They're all doing very interesting and different things, and it's expanding the breadth of the platform because they're obviously pushing requirements back to Microsoft to say, hey, you know, we're trying to do this, you know, can we expand it out to do a little more? And so that's the thing I think you're going to begin to see as we move, you know, move throughout the year, is a lot of these newer features kind of covering off on those newer exciting areas.
So. Now, one of the things I feel is that since Windows Azure is kind of a new technology. I mean, a lot of people aren't familiar with it. There's probably some people in the audience out there who haven't yet looked at Windows Azure. They're not even quite sure whether or not it's for them or not. If I was one of those people, what is a good place on the web to go to, you know, A, you know, find out more information about what exactly Azure is and does it fit my needs? And let's say I just said I want to do something with it. How do I actually get started and kick the tires a little bit?
That's a great question. So go to Microsoft.com/Windows Azure, all one word. Basically, that's your starting point. You can go and get a trial version, you know, get an account set up for 3 months. There's a great training kit out there that DP, your brethren, have been putting together. And that's probably for the 200 or 300 level developer that you can get involved in that. But for most of your audience, these guys are seasoned developers, I would imagine. So I would say, you know, Microsoft.com, like Windows Azure, to get a sense for what you can do with Windows Azure and what's available and some of the pricing differences, because when you build on the cloud, it's a different paradigm, right? You know, you're not necessarily looking at a big box that's sitting in your lab. You're looking at you're paying per use. And so you can figure out, you know, the calculations of an application and how you're going to use it in the cloud. So there's a lot of resources there for developers off of, you know, Microsoft.com, WAC, Windows Azure. I would also encourage folks to check out www.meetwindowsazure.com. And this is something that's going to happen in June. Basically, you know, Scott Guthrie is going to talk a bit more about Windows Azure, and it's always an entertaining and very educational listen when Scott Guthrie is talking about technology. But I would hope that you could sign up for that too, because I think that's another learning opportunity for folks, in as much as they can go to Microsoft.com like Windows Azure, get lots of information, get access to the training kits. Channel 9 obviously is another place they can go and learn a lot about Windows Azure. I know that there's a ton of videos you guys have done there. And so I think between those three resources, you should absolutely get up and running and get familiar with, you know, with what's going on. And certainly there's the TechEd Past conferences where off of Channel 9, mm-hmm. where you can go and do some searches and actually see some of the lectures that speakers have talked about. So a lot of resources there. So don't think that, you know, we're shy on giving out resources, because there's a ton there that you can actually take advantage of.
Okay. Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate all the information you gave at Windows Azure, and maybe I'll move my application over to Windows Azure.
Yes, you have to.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. I hope that gave you some information you might need to understand Windows Azure better. And remember, we have this event coming up in June, and the name of the event again was Meet Windows Azure.
Meet Windows Azure, right.
MeetWindowsAzure.com. Yeah. Check that out, June 7th, I believe, as well as TechEd, both TechEd North America and TechEd Europe. And if you haven't registered yet, I think you better take a look at TechEd Europe, because that's going to be pretty exciting over there. Thanks for joining us.